Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
She's a gospel music favorite, and we're picking up from last week's conversation with Candy Hemphill Christmas, out with a brand new project called On the Other Side, and literally on the other side of some dark moments in her life. And it's from those real life experiences she draws new depth in her music and shares that with us today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
During that time of depression, I met an older pastor, an older minister. And he could see that I was very thin and frail and depressed. And he said, I feed homeless people under a bridge. He said, would you like to go? And I said, well, yeah, I think I would. I was so depressed, I couldn't hardly put one foot in front of the other. But I said, okay, you know, I'll go. Well, he looked real close at me, and he said, well, can you cook? I think he thought I couldn't cook, you know, by looking at me. I said, yes, I can cook. I can cook jambalaya in any size pot. I'm a Louisiana girl. I can make a small pot or a large pot. He said, well, make your jambalaya and meet me down at the bridge on Tuesday. And I did. Wow. And that day was life-changing for me because I went down there and I saw people who were cold. Some had no coats on. Some had their feet hanging out of their shoes and their toes bleeding. Mm. And they were hungry. And I fed them, and they were so grateful and so sweet. And something came alive in me, and I started going to Walmart and going to Dollar General and Goodwill and buying coats and socks and underwear and toothbrushes. And next week I'm back at the bridge, and the week after that. Mm. Well, so the word gets out with the homeless. Hey, there's a lady down there that's serving jambalaya. Daniel, for the first 6 months that I was there, they never knew my name. They called me Jambalaya. and you know what? That was perfect. It was perfect for me. I loved it. And I read this doctor's report that said that when you do acts of kindness and when you do good deeds for others, there's an endorphin that's released inside your body. And it makes you high. It makes you euphoric and happy. And this Dr. Post, I think his name is Stephen Post, did this study, and he likened this high to a cocaine high or some kind of a drug high, which I've never done drugs or cocaine or anything like that. But I literally got so high and so excited that it changed my life. I ceased being depressed. Of course, I don't weigh 100 pounds anymore, that's for sure. a lot more. And so the bottom line is the homeless people healed me. They did much more for me than I've ever done for them. So 6 years later, here I am. I'm not depressed. I'm still under bridge. Today's Tuesday. And every Tuesday night under the Jefferson Street Bridge, we feed the homeless. And we'll feed anywhere from 300 to 500 homeless people a hot meal. We have church. We set up sound and light. I have two box trucks. I have a 20,000 square foot warehouse full of brand new clothing, toothbrushes, toiletry items, soap, shampoo, whatnot. And I have people back there cooking right now. We're going to serve a hot meal, have church, and win souls for Christ.
Wow.
And it's been the most amazing journey. And let me just say this. One of the outside of God and family, this is the greatest gift God has ever given me, because I literally see the gospel at work.
Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want.
You want. sick and you can't get well,
tell him what you want.
Christmas is our guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Do you have time for a quick story?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, let me tell you this. There was a young man who was a homeless guy, and I started feeding him in the early days. He had staph infection, very bad. Mm-hmm. He was a meth addict, very thin and frail. He weighed 108 pounds. His name was Jeff Stoll. And one of the homeless guys who had gotten saved under the bridge, his name is Moose. He took in Jeff, took him under his wing. Well, Jeff came to the church service under the bridge probably about a year and stayed on the fringes and just came to eat. But one night, God got a hold of him and saved him. Well, then he dropped out of sight, just completely off the radar. I didn't see him for a couple of years, and I had a pastor from Brentwood who came and preached for me under the bridge, and I went to greet him, and a young man got out of his car. He said, "Do you know this kid?" And I said, "Well, he looks familiar." He gained 85 pounds. It was Jeff Stoll.
Wow.
At that time, he got saved under the bridge. He got free from drugs, started a business, a construction business, had many employees under him. He's answered the call to preach. He is now on staff at a church of 3,000 members in North Carolina, and he is over the entire state of North Carolina, Jeff Stoll. Over the entire state of North Carolina for Celebrate Recovery, and God is using him to reach out and minister to other drug addicts all over the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
That cool?
That's amazing. That is so good. And that's the thing about this. Maybe the depression led to it. I guess it did based on the story, but when you finally realize no matter how good you have been, no matter the good works that you were doing, honorable things you were doing, but when you finally come to the point, and you kind of made reference to it, you know, whenever you have a message you want to proclaim, if you had a microphone that went around the world, it comes down to the question of life. Why are we here? You know, what is the purpose of life?
Yeah.
And I think that you would find proclaiming Jesus saves to whoever would hear. And in your case, I mean, this is your calling here for these people under the bridge. They need to hear. And
yeah.
And probably if the saying holds true, sometimes before you can tell them something that they will hear, you have to get over the rumbling of their stomachs, and you have to feed them, and you have to take care of the basic needs so that they will be able to hear the message of Christ.
Well, most homeless ministries here in Nashville, most homeless ministries make homeless people sit for an hour and listen to the gospel before they preach to them. I mean, before they will feed them.
Yeah.
I've never been able to preach to hungry people. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
First thing that we do is feed them this hot meal. And then it's my opinion, and you know what? This is just the way I feel. But if they only eat and they don't stay and hear the gospel, then I've still shown them Christ.
Right,
I've still done what Christ has asked me to do.
And oh, yeah. You planted a seed.
Right.
Yeah.
But what happens then the incentive for them to stay until after the church service is that they get a ticket when they went through the line and got their plate. They get a ticket, and the ticket has a number on it. After the church service, then we give away a brand new bicycle because, unlike what most people think, homeless people work. And a bicycle is worth its weight in gold for them to get to and from work, because you can't get a driver's license, and unless you have a physical address to put on a driver's license, you can't have a driver's license. So most of the homeless people have to get to and from work, but they'll walk 2 and 3 hours a day to get to their job. It takes, Daniel, it takes a $10 an hour job, 40 hours a week, to provide a roof over your head in Nashville. Most of our homeless people bus table, mop floors, wash dishes, do construction work. They're hard workers, but they might not have the education to get a $10 an hour job.
Right.
So that's the next thing on my list. What we're doing right now is that we are building a learning center for the homeless to help them get their GEDs, learn job skills and computer skills, and put them back out in the workforce so that they can get better jobs. But we give a brand new bicycle away after church. We give away tents and sleeping bags. It's a raffle. There's no money involved. It's just a free ticket. And we draw these tickets out of the bag every week to give a brand new bicycle, 2 or 3 sleeping bags, a tent. And then they unload the trucks, the box trucks, and we've had volunteers in that warehouse today. We have a group from Abbeville, Louisiana, in our warehouse today. Yesterday it was from Ohio. But they come in and bag groceries and toiletry items and sort clothes and load the trucks. And after we give away the bike and tents and whatnot, then we give away everything that we have in those trucks. And those homeless people go away loaded down with free clothing, food, groceries enough to get them through the week until we come down next week, and toiletry items, things that they would not be able to buy themselves. And it is just such a rewarding, fulfilling thing that God has entrusted me with, and I'm very, very grateful for it.
Who here among us has not without guilt or pain, so oft abandoned by our transgressions? If such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like these. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there
on the depression side of things, if we can talk about that, just in case there's somebody listening who has gone through that or is going through that, and if I can phrase this very bluntly, did you find people as you were dealing with your depression, dealing with your stuff going on, who would say, "Look, who are you to be depressed? You're Candy Christmas. And from what I've seen of Kent, he looks like a good-looking guy. You got a good-looking family. You got awards. You got a wonderful history in music. You're set. Why in the world are you depressed? Go get a milkshake. You know, get over it. Do you find people who kind of, because I think there are people who don't really seem to believe in depression. They don't think it's real, or they think it's all made up in your mind.
Yeah, I know, and I'm sure that, you know, it could have been a chemical imbalance. And like I said, you know, if you've ever met my parents, then you know that my dad suffered from depression.
Right, right.
And you know what? I'm no physician. I don't really understand it probably to the fullest. I've read studies that says that depression is anger turned inward.
Hmm.
And so, you know, I don't really understand it all. I can only tell you my personal journey. And my doctor wanted me to turn to medication. And let me just stop right here and say this. Medication for depression is not wrong, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do what you can do to get through the moment. And, you know, people suffer loss. Maybe a divorce, maybe, you know, the death of a loved one, fired from a job, or, you know, I don't really know. Several different things bring it on. And then you go through this stage of grieving or whatnot. And then the enemy uses it to war against you, against your mind, and set up strongholds in your mind. And so I had to get in prayer and find out my own answer. And I'll tell you this. If you ask God a question, he will answer it. But you have to be prepared for what God will say to you. He may answer it through, you know, just a conversation with a friend, or in his word, or in prayer. But I asked the Lord, I said, "God, this is not working. What is this? What's the root of this?" And God began to show me in my life that, you know, I had a direction that I wanted God to take me in, but God had a whole new world out there for me that I had no idea was out there. And if someone is listening right now who is depressed, can I tell you, this is not the end. Let the past go. God has a whole new world out there for you. He wants to use you. There are beautiful people under a bridge living in tents, or underprivileged children in schools, or are people on the church pew who need you and need the Christ in you. So let go of the past, embrace the new, embrace what God wants to do in your life, and let Christ be your all in all. See him, see his face. Revelation chapter 2 said that he will open a door that no man can shut. So don't grieve over the doors that are shut. God has something great for you in your future. Your best is yet to come.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows dream, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is over, precious Lord, lead me home.
draws near and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord.
And there's a new project out that's titled On the Other Side, which, you know, now that you know the story, I think really makes a lot of sense. So you were not doing a whole lot of music other than your bridge ministry for many years there, I guess. And so why the new project and why now?
Well, if I were an attorney, I would take on new cases to fund the ministry.
Yeah.
I would, if I traded in the stock market, I would just, you know, trade more stocks. But gospel music is what I know, and it's a gift that God has given me. That number one, I can get the message out of what God's doing under the bridge, and then I can help raise support for the bridge ministry through the proceeds of the album and the book. Are you aware they've written a book too?
Yeah, I saw this mentioned in here.
Okay, they're both called On the Other Side. The book is On the Other Side, Life-Changing Stories from Under the Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And the CD is On the Other Side. And incidentally, the song, the title cut, There is a Blessing on the Other Side, was written by my daughter, Jasmine.
I saw that.
And so, yeah, so I'm really proud of that. But all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, goes back into the ministry to feed the homeless and to build this learning center. In 2009, we opened an orphanage in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. We have 65 children there.
Mm-hmm.
We suffered quite a bit of damage in the earthquake January 12th, but we're back up and running now. And I've partnered with Convoy of Hope to receive food there in Port-au-Prince. And, you know, just God is in so many things, and I need a way to let people, number one, be aware and to get involved. And possibly, this is my hope, that, you know, if God doesn't put it in your heart to help me, then you can help those in your own community. Maybe my story will get you motivated to make your own pot of jambalaya and go to a bridge in your own city.
Yeah.
And that would be as rewarding or fulfilling as seeing you come to Nashville.
Right.
For Christians, I find that most Christians want to do something for Christ. Most Christians want to reach out. They just don't know where to start. And so I would like to think that I'm motivating people to get involved. Whether you get involved with me or in your own community, either one, let Christ be glorified in your life.
Move along with time in our work and in our play. Just a fleeting moment and it dawns another day. Days turn into seasons, summer heat. Keeps another time, so I am torn.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with today's guest, Candy Hemphill Christmas, and her new project, On the Other Side.
Well, your story is inspirational, and I think it can't help but rub off onto other people listening to it. Let me ask you this. What keeps you going? No, I mean, obviously, you see success in what you're doing. You're seeing lives change, and that's very rewarding. However, when you step back and kind of look at the big picture, and as good of a job as you're doing with the bridge, and as many success stories as you could tell us, you're one person, and your organization is one organization, and you may be dealing with one or two cities at a time here, and there's a big, big, big need out there. Yeah. How do you keep yourself from getting too overwhelmed that maybe it's a never-ending job?
And it is a never-ending job. Nashville has 11,000 homeless people on its streets, and 4,000 of those are children.
Wow.
I have to tell you, just Nashville alone is a bigger need than Candy Christmas can fill. And so I have to, I'm resolved to that. I'm resigned to that. But do you remember when the disciples of John came to Jesus and they said, John wants to know, are you the one, or do we look for another? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to paraphrase here. But Jesus said, okay, you go back and tell John that when the blind man came to me, he got what he needed. What the blind man needs? Sight. Okay? So he said, and go back and tell him that the lame man got what he needed. What does the lame man need? He needs to walk. And he said, you go back and tell him that the poor man got what he needed. What does a poor man need? He doesn't need money. It's not money that they're lacking. It's the gospel of Christ. So my job, yes, I love feeding the poor. I'm driven to do it. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. But more than anything else, it's the gospel. I go out there and know, what does Hebrews say? The word of God is quick. What does quick mean? It means alive. The word of God is alive and powerful as a two-edged sword. So all I have to do is make sure that the gospel is preached. And if they get the gospel, then the gospel changes their life. Candy Christmas will never change their life. Me giving them a handout will never change their life, but the gospel can. So I just take joy in knowing that I just go out there and do what God's called me to do and let God do the rest.
Candy Hemphill Christmas, today's guest on Daniel Brent and Friends.
Not that your music was not impactful before the bridge, but now that you are working with these, and especially with these people who probably are very rough around the edges, they're very, in some cases, maybe in your face. It may be, I don't know if the word is just earthy, real people. Has that been kind of a reality check for you? And maybe have you quit playing certain games or wearing certain masks that you once wore? And is that showing in your music?
Yeah. Really, because when you grow up in church, you learn how to talk the talk and walk the walk. And, you know, you have all these little phrases and blah, blah, blah. These people don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
All they want to know is, does what you have work for me on my level?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it causes you to be real. I'll tell you this, though. There is, like, this community, subculture that is down on the street and where society more or less has rejected them and the quote unquote system didn't work for them. They've accepted one another. And if you ever earn their trust, then you're one of them. The police chief here in Nashville told me, he said, I could send my patrol cars out there. He said, but your greatest protectors are sitting in your audience. And he's right. These guys, they might be gang members or drug addicts or whatever, but I've fed them for 6 years and I've clothed them. And I am their sister. They are my brother. And I'm seeing God, do a work in them. But there is an acceptance that, I've received. So let me flip that around now. I go to sing in these churches, and church has, or maybe not church, but the Christian community has put up walls. And if you're not their name brand, like I could go into a little country church, and my music might be too contemporary, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they're going to tune me out because I'm not, their brand.
Sure.
Or I'll go into, another community and I might be, too country.
Yeah.
Well, so they tune you out. And so it has taken a lot of the facade. And I can remember for many years as I was in the bridge ministry infancy stages, I would go to a church and get tuned out or whatnot. And I would just pretend that I was singing to the homeless group. And I could just see the homeless people out in the audience, and I would just sing to them.
Yeah.
But it has taught me not to brand myself, not to brand other people, but just to accept people as they are and to be more myself than some name brand. So I hope I answered that right.
Yeah, I mean, and it really does show in the music, I think. If you go through and look at the lyrics and look at the, even through the sound, I think you can really tell where you've come from.
There is a blessing just on the other side. Though the valley is low and the river is wide. There is a blessing just on the other side. Hold on, child, hold on. The Israelites, they wandered through the desert for some time, waiting for the day that their promise would arrive. Jordan, then parted the tide.
blessing just on the other side.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with today's guest, Candy Hemphill Christmas, and her new project, On the Other Side.
Tell me about your kids. You got two kids?
Well, my husband has a son that I've raised since he was eight, and his name is Joshua. He's 32. And then we have our daughter Jasmine, who is 21, and our son Nicholas, who is 16. So I've raised three children.
Yeah. And how involved is the whole family in the Bridge Ministry?
Extremely, extremely involved. In the early days, I'll be honest with you, you know, my husband wasn't really excited about it. He felt like that I might be, you know, jeopardizing my life, put my life in danger. And then there was this whole other aspect of it that I'm moving boxes of potato chips into his garage and cereal cases, boxes up to the ceiling, and he can't park his car in the garage, and then I take over his office, and he can't walk in the door because tons of food and clothing backed up. And so I think at first, you know, it was like, boy, this whole Bridge Ministry thing is a real nuisance. And at one point he said, okay, somebody's leaving home. It's you or the Bridge Ministry, and I'm pretty sure it's the Bridge Ministry. You're going to have to move it out. So I got a warehouse, and we got our first warehouse at 2,000 square feet.
Uh-huh.
But now my husband, if you look on the records of the Bridge Ministry, we are a nonprofit organization. My husband is the biggest contributor that the Bridge Ministry has to date. Now, all the proceeds, like when I go out and sing and do concerts, All the proceeds from my concerts go back into the Bridge Ministry, and I just draw a minimal salary, and my husband more or less supports me. I support the Bridge Ministry, but my husband's church and his and with his finances, he supports the Bridge also. So he's a supporter, and he preaches under the Bridge a lot, and my daughter is worship minister under the Bridge. So everybody's involved. It's a family thing, and it's something that we can all enjoy together.
Trouble of this world. I'm going home to live with God. sunshine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks, my soul can be found. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It may bring me low, but it cannot.
Let's get the details out here. CandyChristmas.com is where you can go to find out about your tour and about your music and about the new project that we've been featuring. And then the website for the bridge is bridgeministry.org, right?
Yes.
And so I guess what we've heard is true. Are you accepting bookings if people want to get you in their church?
Yes, I am. I go out a good deal. The other thing is that a lot of times I'll take my singers with me and we'll get on a bus and go and do a concert, you know, to raise funds for the bridge. We do bridge ministry benefits and we do that quite a bit. Or you can come and visit us under the bridge any Tuesday night that you want. I'm going to be in Nashville right under the Jefferson Street Bridge. Mm-hmm. So still active and going and singing.
Candy, you've always been one of my favorites, and it's good to hear from you. I mean, it's good to know that you're doing something so beyond yourself, and that's not to knock any other artist out there. But
thank you very much.
But it's so inspiring to hear your story.
Well, you have been very, very kind to me. Sometimes, you know, I get in the warehouse or down on the streets under the bridge, and, you know, your mind will minimize the effect that you've had on people in the past. And so you've been extremely kind to me, and our conversation today has been a little gift from God to me of encouragement, and I thank you for that.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.